Hour number four, Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Willie Donick, of course, getting ready for the call for the Dallas Stars and the Nashville Predators coming up in a couple of hours. Darren McFarland getting ready for his pregame duties as well. So you got me for the next hour, but we say hello to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, our weekly visit with him. Elliot, we got games to talk about, my friend.
Isn't it awesome?
Oh, I can't wait. I am so excited. And I've been watching games, but obviously now that it's, you know, our team here in Nashville with the Predators, get to see them on the ice, saw some practice a couple weeks ago. I am so pumped for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chase. The first game I actually worked was on Tuesday. That was Montreal-Toronto. And the funniest thing was the players came out of the dressing room and Carey Price. So Montreal used the home room in Toronto, and he made the wrong turn. He went down the stairs, and he was used to going a different way, and he turned the wrong way, and he had to turn around and go back. It was pretty hilarious. But just seeing the guys on the ice and the warm-up, like it really had the juices flowing. I was so excited. I realized how much I missed it. I mean, I've been watching baseball, and I'm going to watch basketball, but, like, literally, just seeing those guys back on the ice again, even if they were, you know, doing lines and taking half-hearted shots, and Connor McDavid was going, like, 60%, it was just so much fun to see. You realize how much you miss it.
Yeah, absolutely, and kudos to the NHL for pulling this off in both Toronto and in Edmonton. We talked to a guy named Brooks Bratton that works with the Predators, that he's with the team. He's there in Edmonton. And he kind of gave us the lay of the land of what it's like. And I was on a media conference call on Monday with the NHL that started with Gary Bettman thanking all of us. I mean, it's so cool, but this is going to be neat to watch because your network, obviously a big part of it there in Canada and NBC here in the States, but of the made-for-TV product that we're going to see, the different camera angles that everyone's going to be able to have because you don't have fans, I think it's going to be fun for the fans at home.
I sure hope so. I think that'll be true. I think for the teams in Edmonton, you know, it was a bigger challenge to get Edmonton ready because all the way through it was supposed to be Vegas, right? You know, Edmonton was it was supposed to be Vegas in the West all the time. And then it was going to be Vegas and Vancouver until the deal in Vancouver fell apart. And so, and then all of a sudden, so Edmonton, and then when Vancouver went out, it was still going to be Vegas, and they talked about it being Vegas-Toronto. And then, you know, Vegas fell apart. So Edmonton, even though Edmonton was in it all the time and wanted to be involved all the time, they weren't really accepted until late, so they really had to rush to get it done. And, you know, I'm a big believer, Chase, it's like life. The bubble setup is not ideal. You're, especially for the first 5 days, you're supposed to only be with your teammates. Obviously, your families aren't there. You're limited where you can go, and you can either whine and complain about it or you can make it work. It's like life. You get out of it what you put into it. And you have to make the effort. And, yes, I've enjoyed some of the new TV stuff. And, you know, the NHL's made it very clear. They're going to hide some of the bells and whistles until the games actually begin on Saturday. For me, the toughest thing is just replicating the emotion. Hockey is such an emotional game. I mean, you guys are in Nashville, which is one of the most emotional arenas in the NHL. How do you capture that? To me, that's the biggest challenge, especially at playoff time. How do you get that emotion going?
So you said you worked a game. Was the beard there? Is the beard gone? What's the latest with the beard?
No, the beard's there. It was quite a storyline. I'll have to tell you that. I kept it. We didn't tell anybody. I kept it. And initially the plan, Chase, was to wear it for one broadcast and shave it, but now we're keeping it a little bit longer. We're looking for a charitable component out of this. I don't think it's going to stay for the whole playoffs, because if it does, I think I'll be getting a divorce. so we're just figuring out how we're going to exit strategy this.
Oh, that's awesome, though, the charitable part of it. Because, I mean, for those of you that haven't been following along, Elliot's beard is something to see. I mean, it has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty majestic, I have to say. I haven't trimmed it. I'm not really sculpting it or anything like that. I have to admit, like, part of me admits it kind of looks a little bit disgusting. But, you know, people had fun with it. And, you know, Chase, that's all I really cared about is, you know, life's been really hard lately for a lot of people. And we just wanted something for everyone to laugh at. And, you know, most people did. Some people really said it. I got a few nasty DMs. I suspect they originated all in my kitchen when I wasn't there. But you know, there were a few nasty DMs, but generally people laughed and poked fun at it. And that's all I wanted is just, you know, it's been a hard time. And if people have something to laugh at, I was good with that.
So let's talk about the Predators' opponent, the Arizona Coyotes, and not on the ice. Obviously, a lot has been going on off the ice. John Chayka resigns, and the team releases this statement basically saying he quit, which I guess that's what he did. Somebody we all know and really like, Steve Sullivan, who is now the interim general manager there in Arizona. What is going on with the Coyotes right now and their general manager situation?
Well, every day more and more droplets of information, Chase, become available. And what's clear to me here is that another NHL team, and it's not been confirmed, but I'm pretty sure it's New Jersey. Another NHL team, they were doing a GM search, and whether it's GM or it's, president of hockey ops or whatever they're kind of talking about here, they were interested in him, and they asked Arizona for permission to talk to him, and initially they said no, and then I think he found out about it and said, you know, why can't I just at least listen and maybe get some information? So they changed their mind and said yes, and I think they blew him away with a really good offer, and I heard it was like basically I was told if you knew what the offer was, you'd understand why all this happened. And then comes the dispute. Arizona felt that they were misled and that he was going for a position that contractually he was not allowed to go. I haven't spoken to Chayka. He's kind of gone underground. But people who know him have told me that they have everything in writing, he has everything in writing that he was allowed to do. And he didn't do anything illegal. And Arizona wanted compensation. And they couldn't work it out, and it just got really ugly. And, you know, as a lawyer said to me, it all comes down to what's on paper and what you can prove. And this is in the commissioner's hands now, and he's going to have to rule at some point. And technically Chayka didn't quit. He terminated his contract. I think he's arguing they breached it. But it's like a divorce, right? It's one side's right. Got their side, the other side's got their side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And it's now up to the judge, and in this particular case, the judge is the commissioner, and we're going to have to see what he rules.
Yeah, I mean, because they obviously have a lot of decisions to make now, whether it's Steve Sullivan making the call. I mean, Taylor Hall, they got to figure that part out if they're going to keep him and what that offer is going to be. So with the GM part, do you think that Steve Sullivan keeps this job, that he's ready for it, or do you think they go outside?
Well, I think it's difficult for me to say. Sullivan was Chayka's right-hand man. I've kind of wondered in any way could that be a problem? You guys have had one GM your entire time there, so your situation's a little bit different. But sometimes when you make a change, Chase, you say, we want to take everybody out who even reminds us of that guy or anyone who was loyal to that guy. I don't know that that's what they're going to do, but it's one of the things I've wondered. I think there's going to be some question about do they bring Shane Doan back into the franchise? Sean Burke is a guy who has NHL management experience who's in the area. And, you know, one of the other things, too, there is the owner of the Coyotes is a guy by the name of Alex Morello, and his son, whose name is Alex Jr., has kind of been around the situation and been involved in hockey operations. And I think there's a question as to how much they're going to want Alex Jr. to be involved. And, I mean, that's always a dicey thing. You know, anytime an owner says, I want my son to be involved, there's some people who can handle that, and there's some people who want no part of that. So I think those are the biggest questions. Is do they want to bring Doan back in? How much is the owner's son going to be involved? And, you know, is there any question about Sullivan because he was tight with Chyka? And that's going to be – I think those are going to be the questions we have to answer here.
In your 31 thoughts column at sportsnet.ca, the first thing you have after the Chyka saga there is Taylor Hall, 5 years, 7.25 as the average is kind of what you threw out there. But do you ultimately think that they get this done, that he is a Coyote for the next several years?
Well, I think Taylor Hall is a little bit unusual in the sense that, you know, he's made a lot of money. You know, this is his ninth year, and he's been to the playoffs once, depending on what you call this. Like, technically, the Coyotes aren't in the playoffs yet. They have to beat you guys to get there. You know, so at most, he's going to be in the playoffs twice in 9 years. That's obviously a big deal to him. And in this league, you know, Chase, you guys have been around enough long enough to know that every year, I mean, you can't guarantee success. There's surprises every year, teams that do better than you expect, teams that do worse than you expect. But I think he's going to want to go to a stable organization where he looks at it and says, this team has a good chance to be successful every year and give me a shot. So I think situation and fit is going to be as big when it comes to Hall as money.
Elliot Friedman here with us from Sportsnet. How much do you think that Gary Bettman and the NHL are paying attention to what's happening in Major League Baseball? I know baseball does not have the bubble model like the NHL does, but you now have two teams that aren't playing because of coronavirus. So how much do you think they're paying attention to that?
Well, I think for sure they're paying forward a ton, paying attention to it a ton. And, you know, I think one of these things that's definitely happening is all these sports are looking at each other, Chase, and they're saying, okay, what works and what doesn't? And there's no question right now that the Major League Baseball's got to be looking and saying, boy, the fact that them and the players can't agree on a bubble or couldn't agree on a bubble, that's a disaster for them. And, you know, you guys are an NFL city, and I'm sure the NFL is looking at that right now and they're saying, this is bad for us too. This is a bad omen. I think the only way that you can play sports right now is in the bubble. As a matter of fact, Michelle Roberts, who runs the NBA Players Association, she did an interview this week where she kind of said, if things don't change, we might have to play next year in the bubble too. So, you know, that shows you what we're kind of looking at here right now. You know, you mentioned earlier you were on the Zoom call with the commissioner on Monday, the one that was for rights holders. I was on that one too, Chase. And I thought one of the more interesting things that Bettman said was, you know, we're happy we made it this far and we're happy that we got no positive tests and everybody deserves credit. But by no means are we patting ourselves on the back. And I think that's the right attitude. You know, life changes so quickly. It changes so unbelievably quickly. Like, what was the truth yesterday is not necessarily the truth today. And, you know, so far you're sitting here and you're feeling very good about your chances, but you never know what could happen tomorrow. Like, all it takes is one person lowering their guard. And never mind intentionally, it can be an accident. And you could have a big problem. So I'm sure they're looking at it and saying, thank God that's not us, and thank God we've given ourselves better odds than they have. But nobody's pointing at anybody else and laughing because it certainly can happen to you.
You may have talked about this last week when I was on vacation because I can't remember exactly when it was revealed. But the Seattle Kraken released the Kraken. What did you think about that decision?
Well, first of all, Chase, you should know that no good questions were asked last week because we're on vacation.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I will make sure that Darren and Willie know.
Okay, yeah, that's the truth. I loved it. You know what I liked about it? You know, I think the NHL is changing, and changing for the better. And, you know, when, like, you guys went through this, or when we went through the expansion in Nashville and in Columbus and places like that, like, a lot of us, especially, like, you know, Canadian hockey fans, we're snobs, right? Like, we're snobs when it comes to hockey. And we kind of looked down on it, and we're like, oh, hockey in Nashville. Well, that's not hockey. That's not what it's supposed to be about. And I think with 2020 hindsight and what we know now, Chase, is it was so good for the league. Like, the city, like your organization is so good for the NHL. And that Stanley Cup final in 2017, it was so good for the NHL. It was what the league needed, and an understanding and a realization that there's other ways for the league to be made fun. And to me, like, when I look at that whole Kraken thing last week, it was not conservative. It was bold. It was different. It was a try at something new. And I think hockey needs more of that. Like, I loved it. I loved the logo. I loved the name. I loved the jersey. I liked the whole story. You know, the fact that the use of what's called negative space in the arts world, where the line that comes up through the S, it's not just a black line. It's one of the Kraken's tentacles. It's the mystery of never showing the full Kraken. Like, I loved all of that stuff. And the one thing I liked most about it is that it wasn't, quote-unquote, hockey. It was something new, and we can't be afraid of trying new.
Completely agree with that. And it had to grow on me, but it has. It's been out for like a week, and I like it too. I think it'll look really cool once they get going here in a couple of seasons. Hey, Elliot, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the beard while you still have it, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, Chase, have yourself a great week. Enjoy some Predators hockey today. It's about time.
Absolutely. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. The entire rest of the way, we are talking Predators hockey, and you, of course, are welcome to join in 615-737-1025. You can call or text. I just have a simple question. What are you looking to see out of today's exhibition game? I have my thoughts. I will give those when we come back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.